this morning, I want us to consider together the theme of being separated unto Christ. I want you to follow along as I begin reading again in verse 14 down through verse 18. Then we'll bow and ask the Lord's blessing as we seek to undertake the study of His Word this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul again writes, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we come to study His Word this morning. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we come this morning and as we gather around the Word of God, we gather around that which is true, that which is a trustworthy guide in all that we do. Lord, thy Word will never lead us astray. Thy Word will always lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You will help us to live in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight, way that truly honors you, in a way that brings blessing, in a way that brings joy. So Lord, I pray this morning that as we come and we gather before thy Word, that you would help us and that you would teach us and instruct us from it, that our hearts would be open and receptive to hear the Word of God and then to be doers of it. We'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ, as we understand from our studies of late, is to be the center of all that we do as a believer. He, in love, came to this vile and wretched earth that he who is holy might save those who were lost in sin. We who in our own volition chose to turn from God and seek our own sinful way, he came to save us. It was by the Lord Jesus' sacrifice that we were cleansed from our sins, that we were provided a home in heaven, a place in which no sin dwells. It should then be no surprise to us that throughout the New Testament we find teaching that the believers are to live a life that is holy and a life that is separated from sin. Over and over again, you can turn throughout the pages of the New Testament and find that challenge given to us. It is a challenge that we need to consider. It is a challenge that we need to take. God would have those of us that have been saved by His grace and saved from this wretched, vile world to now walk and live in a way that is holy and separate from sin. Yet in our modern culture, we feel somehow enlightened and believe that we no longer need to follow this necessity to keep our lives separated from the world and its lust which so easily ensnare us. Perhaps the greatest illustration in history with regards to the importance of separation and the foolishness of refusing to separate one's life from evil is found in the life of Lot. F.B. Meyer wrote of the need for believers to separate themselves from apostate churches and to come out from among them. And in doing so, he reminded those to whom he was writing of the foolishness of Lot. I want you to hear what he had to say. He says, "The place from which we can exert the strongest influence for good is not from within, but from without. Lot lost all influence of his life in Sodom. But Abraham, from the heights of Mamre, was able to exert a mighty influence in history. There are many today who name the name of Jesus Christ who are forgetting the foolishness of Lot. There are many today that want to call for us to no longer need to separate, that we can be just like the world, that we can live with all their sin and all their lust, and it's okay. But there's a foolishness in following the philosophy of Lot. And there's wisdom in following the way of Abraham. This morning I want us to consider that if Jesus Christ truly meant everything to us and that He was valued above all, we would separate ourselves from evil. And we would separate ourselves from this world. As we begin this morning, I want you to see with me the reason for separation. I've asked you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this morning, as we consider this passage of Scripture, we're going to do something a little differently. We're going to start at the end of the passage and we're going to work our way back to the beginning as to where we started. Paul comes to us in this passage of Scripture, and he desires to teach the church of Corinth the importance and the necessity of living a life separated from evil. And as we come to the end of this challenge that he has given to us, he lays out for us a specific reason in mind why every believer ought to seek to separate himself from the world and its evil influences. As we seek to see this reason this morning, I want to begin by allowing you to see with me the call to separation. I want you to look at verse 17. Paul writes and says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Paul, without apology, in this verse, calls for the church to come out from the world, to separate themselves from it. There's no misunderstanding what Paul was saying. The charge is clear. The command is given. All who name the name of Christ, all that have been saved by His wondrous grace, are to come out from among the world and be separate. No longer to be touching the unclean things. The command is clear. We're to come out from the world. You know what that implies? It implies for the church of Corinth that they had gone right back in. They had been saved by God's wondrous grace, saved from this world. But now they've entangled themselves again in the things of the world. So Paul would have to write to them and say, come out from among them. No longer entangle yourselves in the things of the world. Come out. He also tells us that we need to separate from them. The word separate and that concept of separation implies that there ought to be distinction. There ought to be a distinction between the godly and the ungodly. We as the believers of Jesus Christ, followers of Him, are to come out from the world and be separate from them. There's supposed to be a distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. There's supposed to be a difference between the godly and the ungodly. And yet in our modern culture today and within the church today, there is a movement that simply says we want to wipe away the lines of distinction. We don't want to be different. We want to be just like the world and everything else. We just kind of want to take what the world does and make it sacred. But we don't want to separate. We don't want to come out from and we don't want to be distinct from. You can see those lines of distinction being erased. We want to wipe away the lines of distinction when it comes to our appearance. There are churches today who want to throw away all godly standards and modesty so that you and I can look just like the world. We no longer want to come to church and give God our very best. Instead, we would rather promote an ultra-casual feel within our services. If we want to come to God just however we want to come, that's okay. Let's just wipe it all away. Let's dress just like the world. Let's look just like them. Let's not be different. There are many today, many churches, even some within our own community, who are claiming to preach the gospel. But they want to wipe away the lines of distinction. We want to look just like the world. We don't want to be different. There are those who want to wipe away the lines of distinction when it comes to music. We no longer want to promote music that speaks to the Spirit, that draws our attention to the wonderful Creator and the Savior of men. Instead, we would rather listen to music that is like unto the world. We want music that moves our emotions, that it moves our body. We want music that makes us feel good about ourselves. We don't want our attention drawn to Jesus Christ. Excuse me. We want to feel good. We want to feel moved. We don't want good and godly music. Folks, that battle exists within our own church. Some have even suggested maybe we ought to consider some of those things. I hope it never is true here. Because we're to come out from among the world and be separate. We are to be different. There is good and godly music that we can sing that lifts the spirit, that satisfies the soul. And that's what ought to be promoted here. Yet there are some who want to wipe away those lines of distinction. There are those who desire to wipe away the lines of distinction when it comes to the realm of our entertainment. We want to throw away the old ways of thinking and say that we can handle all the entertainment of the world. And it really doesn't matter. Yet David would say in Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We want to forget that it's the world that entrapped us. It was the world that enslaved us. And yet we want to run headlong back into the things of this world. But Paul gives to us the challenge. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Why? Why is it so important that we understand this call to separation? Because it leads me to the second thought this morning, and that's the considered aim. Look at verse 17 and 18 again. And see what it says. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What's the aim? What's the goal that follows? And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Why should we, as those who name the name of Christ, be separate from the world? Why should we make a conscious choice to come out from among them and to be separate from them? The reason is we have a goal in mind. You and I should long for a proper fellowship with God our Father. The passage clearly delineates for us that God promises to receive those who separate themselves from the world. Here's the question that you and I need to ask. Whose fellowship do we want more? The Lord's or the world's? Do we want the Lord's fellowship, or are we longing for the fellowship of this world? Would we rather have the world, or would we rather have Jesus? Can we honestly sing, take the world, but give me Jesus? All its pleasures, you can have them all, right? It doesn't matter. Take everything the world has to offer. It really should not compare to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He who died for us, who shed his blood upon that cursed tree, he ought to mean more to us than anything else. It should be His fellowship that we are seeking, not the fellowship of the world. Yet when you and I refuse to separate from this world, we are seeking their fellowship. We are seeking their approval. We are seeking the praise of men. And we're not too concerned about the thoughts of God or the fellowship of God. The sad reality is that many would say with their lips that we want the Lord's fellowship, but with their actions they proclaim loudly that they want and desire the world's fellowship. I want to remind you of this truth. What you say with your lips often will never be heard, because what your actions say speaks so much louder than what your lips say. You can stand to proclaim because you know it's the right thing that I want the Lord. But if we live as if we want the world, then that's truly what we're going after, and that's whose fellowship we're seeking. So Paul now writes to a church that is struggling, and he says to them, understand, there's a call for separation. Because there's a considered aim, there's a reason in mind. And that reason is the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be seeking after. Again, I ask you, does he mean everything to you, or does he mean something less? Is it his fellowship that we're seeking, or do we really desire that of the world? As we come back to the passage here in 2 Corinthians, not only do we see the reason for separation, but we also now see the rationalization for separation in verses 14 to 16. Some still will struggle with why there should be separation from this world. They would claim that there are still some good things that can be offered to us by the world. And certainly not everything that is in the world is harmful. But certainly we as believers ought to understand the importance and the necessity of separation. There's some good rationalizations that are presented here for us. First of all, there's a rationalization from salvation. There's a rationalization from salvation. Why should we be separate from the world? Reality is, did not God save us from our sins? Folks, you and I were saved by Christ from our sins, were we not? According to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who according to their course of this world, according to the course of the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we lived all according to the ways of this world. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, has saved us from the world. He has saved us from sin. Therefore, does he not have the right to come and call us to be separate from that world? That he might receive us, that he might be a father to us, that we might be his sons and daughters. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are the sons of God. And based on our salvation, should we not separate from this world? Has he not through his blood of his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased, redeemed us from the vile slave market of sin? Has he not through his power called us out from the depths of despair and impending judgment as children of wrath, and made us his dear sons? He certainly has. Then why would we not separate ourselves from that world? Christian, the world is not the friend of God. It rejected our Savior. They nailed him to that cruel cross, and yet we still want close ties with that world. The world today mocks His holy name. It has relegated His name to simply a curse word. Yet we blindly follow behind and offer our allegiance to them. We are called to come out. We were called to worship the Lord who redeemed us. And yet we want to use the means and methods of an unbelieving world to worship Him who called us by His grace and mercy. Folks, it's logical for us to come out from among this world and be separate. Why? Because of the rationalization of our salvation. He saved us from sin. Should we not come out from that world from which He saved us? The answer is yes. There's a second rationalization, and that is a rationalization from sanctification. Hold your place here and go to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. Why should we come out from among this world and be separate? 1 Peter chapter 1, look with me in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. You and I have been saved by His wondrous grace. And through that salvation, we have now been given the challenge to be holy in all that we do, in every manner of conversation. That includes every area of your life. That is not just what takes place on Sundays or Wednesdays or in the few moments of devotions. It is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every thought, every action, every part of your life, we are challenged. Because He who has called us is holy, to be holy. That's the command. If you and I understand what it means to be holy, and you and I would understand that there's a demand for separation. For the word holy means separate from evil. Our God is holy. In Him dwelleth no darkness. There is no speck of sin within His life, or no speck of evil. He is pure. He is clean. He is holy. And you and I are called to live a life that is holy. We are to be sanctified. We are to be set apart for Him. I miss the fact that we sometimes refer to a room like this as the sanctuary. We call it now an auditorium. But this was supposed to be a room set apart for the worship of Jesus Christ. That all things would be done here in holiness, bringing honor and glory to His name. Finally, there's the rationalization from simplicity. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, in verse 14 through 16, gives the argument of separation on the merit of simplicity. It does not take scholarly wisdom to understand that there are some things that just cannot coincide. Look at what the verses say. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You see the logic? Paul is going to call the believers to a life of separation. An And he says the rationalization is from the merit of simplicity. There are some things that just can't coincide. In verse 14, he challenges us not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Where is there common ground for righteousness and unrighteousness to join together? I like what H.A. Ironside had to say in relation to this verse. It's a verse often used in relation to marriage, that there ought not to be a union between a saved and the unsaved. I like what he said. If you are a child of God and you marry the child of the devil, you can expect to have trouble with your father-in-law. It's a true statement. What fellowship exists between righteousness and unrighteousness? Some of you are going to get that quote in a minute. But the reality is this. There's no fellowship there. He goes on in verse 14 and asks, what communion hath light with darkness? You know what I like about lights? Light removes the darkness. When I turn on the light, I don't have to be in the dark. You know what I like about a light switch? It goes the other way. When I want it to be dark, I can turn it on, and the light leaves, and there's darkness. But the two don't coincide together. As I come down to verse 15, he asks the question, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or the devil? I always find this verse to be interesting. The word concord in the Greek gives to you and I in the English language our word symphony. It's a musical term. And so Paul asks the question, what symphony, what concord is there between Christ and the devil? Know what the problem is with modern Christian contemporary music? It's trying to blend God and the devil. And Paul asked the question, what symphony exists there? The obvious answer is, there is none. Those in the mainline Christian contemporary music have an objective of receiving the praise of the world for their artistic work. They're misunderstanding that what we should be desiring is the fellowship of God, not the accolades of man. Verse 16 asks in the question, what agreement can exist between the temple of God and the temple of idols? What fellowship can be there between churches that exalt the name of Christ and those who worship other gods? As many churches do. Folks, why should we come out from among the world and be separate? One, we ought to do so because He saved us. We ought to also do it because He seeks to sanctify us. And we ought to also do it because it's just simple, good logic. There are some things that just cannot coincide. Light and darkness cannot live together. Righteousness and unrighteousness cannot live together. The Lord Jesus said it this way, you cannot serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. You will hold to the one and then you'll despise the other. You cannot have both. It is God or it is this world. That's why the prophet Elijah would go to the people of Israel there on Mount Carmel and ask the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? That's why Joshua would say to the people of Israel as they enter the promised land, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose another God to serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's why Samuel would say, as we considered, only fear the Lord and serve Him with all of your heart. There is a rational reason why we should separate from this world. Paul lays it out for us. The final thing I want you to see with me this morning is simply this: the reception of separation. Look at verse 11 down through verse 13 with me, please. Paul writes, "O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but we are straitened in your own bounds. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto you as my children, be ye also enlarged." Although the scripture clearly teaches the truth of biblical separation, many today are unwilling to receive that message. Many proclaim that that message is a message that is filled with hatred. It denies the very love of God. Yet Paul would write and challenge the people of Corinth with regards to their reception of this important doctrine. And I like how he begins. He says in verse 11 that his mouth is opened and his heart is enlarged. He is sharing very personally his feelings with them and for them. What he is saying to them is simply this: I have a message for you. It is an important doctrine for your consideration, and I know it's not going to be well received. But I want you to know at the very outset, my mouth is open, my heart is enlarged. I am bringing to you this message with compassion. I'm bringing it in love. It is from the heart of compassion that any pastor would share the truth of God's word, and especially the truth of this doctrine. If we did not love the ones to whom the Lord had entrusted to our ministries and to our care, then we would allow people to walk in whatever way they desired. A parent that loves their children will not allow their child to do everything that they please. Good parents understand that there are certain things that are harmful and even deadly. So they restrict from their children things that is not good for them. Parents understand it's not good for the development of a child to spend all of their time in front of a television. Sometimes a child needs to get up and get away from that death box and go outside and explore the things of this world. Sometimes it's good for them. They say, "Well, it's good for my imagination to watch TV." You know what's good for the imagination? Read a book. One kills the imagination, one expands it. We understand those things. My favorite part of the meal is dessert and coffee. But you can't have a diet of dessert and coffee. Some of you think that's what pastors live off of. And when we visit, it seems to be the only thing we get. And then you remind me that you're putting on a few pounds there, Pastor. Stop giving me coffee and dessert. And you don't take no for an answer when I come. But a steady diet of those things is not good. So we restrict it. I know I hate them, but you gotta eat your vegetables. I don't know why, but they tell me you do. I'm a meatitarian and I kinda like it. But we understand there are some things that are good to be withheld. Paul writes to these people and says, "Listen, my heart is open unto you. It is enlarged. I share this from a heart of love." In verse 12 and 13, Paul here asks now for that same love to be received and to be granted unto him that they will receive the message that he has given. He understood it was not the popular thought of the day, and no doubt there are some of you that may not agree with the very conclusions that we have made today. But understand the reason it's come. If Jesus Christ really means everything to us, then you and I will follow what the scripture tells us, and we will come out from from among the world that we were saved from and now be separate from them. That we might be sanctified. That we might know the blessing of Almighty God in our lives and in our families. It is for our good and the glory of God that these things are shared. That's why we seek to have good and godly standard. That's why we reject the Christian contemporary music of this world. Even if other good men recommend it to you, I'll say to you, it's no good for you. Our heart is enlarged. Our mouth is opened wide. There are just some things too dangerous to play with. There are some things, folks, that just can't coincide. Righteousness and unrighteousness can never be blended together. Christ and Belial are at polar opposites. They have no point of agreement. Christian, God in love sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might be redeemed. He redeemed you at a great price, the very precious blood of the Son. He died that you might live. Dare you and I cast aside that love and offend Almighty God because we would rather seek the fellowship of this world from which He saved us? Dare we trample underfoot His grace and seek to blend together that which is diametrically opposed? Beloved, let us come out from among this world and be separate. Let us no longer touch the unclean thing. If Jesus Christ means everything to us, if we understand that He has saved us by His grace, then we understand that we have been called to be separate from evil and separate from this world. We don't need to try to blend the two together. Let's not wipe away the lines of distinction. Let's understand that they've been put there for our benefit and for our blessing. And let's seek the fellowship of Jesus Christ. He who saved us. He who redeemed us. He who set us free. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are again thankful this morning to be able to come and study Your Word. Lord, no doubt this is not a message that everyone can agree with. For as soon as we seek to put out thoughts of restrictions in our natural selves, we want to rebel against such thoughts. We want to do things our way. Lord, Your Word and love gives to us those restrictions to help us. You in love sent Your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, to this earth to die upon the cross of Calvary that we might be saved from sin. Dare we now seek to enter back into fellowship with that place from which we have been saved? We understand and we long for that day where heaven is our home. In that place, no sin dwells. Should we now seek the fellowship of sin here upon the earth? God forbid. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see the necessity of such a challenge. And let us come out from among this world and be separate. Let us no longer touch the unclean thing. As the world and men seek to change our philosophies and challenge us to wipe away the lines of distinction, we understand and see the importance of standing clearly upon the Word of God and seeking only the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Take the world, but give me Jesus. May that be our heart, may that be our desire every day of our life. We thank You and we praise You for all that You have done for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.